Buy a bag of Hill's Pet Nutrition, help feed a shelter pet. Buy another bag of Hill's Pet Nutrition, help feed more shelter pets. Buy Hill's, help feed shelter pets. Buy Hill's, help feed shelter pets. Every time you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet in need, helping them become healthy, happy, and more adoptable. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/radio or tap the banner to learn more.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this Memorial Day, 27th day of May. And tonight, right there, he has to work hard on a Memorial Day. They don't give him any days off, man. He never gets invited in any place. And, well, he really always gets the... well, we have Ken here.
It's such a sad life. It really is.
Well, happy Memorial Day for you, Ken.
Happy Memorial Day, Pastor.
Yeah. You and I both have had to work today, but that's okay.
It's all right.
We're doing the Lord's work. Amen.
Amen.
And so out there, I don't know if he was working today or not, but we have.
I live on a farm. You work all the time.
All right. There you go. Hey, listen, I want to thank Ken Hunter and the American Legion Post 663 and all the people from the Memorial Park for inviting me out to speak and lead the ceremony today. They had a really good Veterans Day memorial service out there today. And then there was a nice parade afterwards. And so thanks again for inviting me back. And anyhow, we have a whole lot to do. Oh, you know, Joe, we need to start off here. We have been blessed. Here in Ohio, we have had some tornadoes go down, but nothing like what's been going on out there in Texas and Oklahoma and
Arkansas. Kentucky, yeah, we've had 21 people killed this Memorial weekend, and those different states, and so many homes destroyed, businesses. Now, I got to remember, that was at least 20. There are people in the hospital that may die and add to that list.
I mean, there's
many
a war
that are injured, yeah. And so many homeless, and that's after a week where just what about a week ago we had 5 dead there in Iowa, and 8 people killed a little earlier in Houston, Texas. So it's been a terrible month.
Yeah, summer's still just getting started, and it's been again these tornadoes seem to be more in frequency. I mean, sometimes they had like 20 tornadoes down in an area at one time. Unbelievable.
Yeah, the number and the strength of them seems to be pretty strong. This is a strong year for the tornadoes.
Well, would you offer a prayer up for those that have lost everything and those that are still hanging in? They're still alive, but
we're still in the season, yeah. So I sure would. And folks, I'd like you all to pray with me. There's a lot of power in prayer, and there are more people joining in because we're all going to need prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we look at the carnage that's been left by the storms, and we know that storms are a part of life. There are blizzards and snowstorms, and there are hurricanes and tornadoes, and we know that there are always problems in the world. But when we see them hit some of these small towns that have been decimated, literally several of them were just about totally destroyed, and we've had so many people killed, so many injured, and so very many that are homeless right now, and others that are just having to put up with no power or minor damages. And Lord, that you would just be with the families that are suffering the loss of loved ones, that you would bring them comfort. Lord, those that right now are suffering fear and worrying about the next storm maybe coming, that you would be able to comfort them. And those that have survivor's guilt, that their home was untouched, but down the road some of their friends and neighbors died or had homes destroyed, property damaged. That so many people in need, Lord, that you would just bless them in every conceivable way, that you would bless them according to their need. And, Lord, that these storms would make people realize that, as we say when we do an invitation at night, now is a good time to decide to choose to become a born-again believer. Many people will not see tomorrow. And these storms bring that grim reminder that death can come very suddenly, and the time one has to make the greatest decision in life can be very limited. So, Lord, we just put these people in your hands and just help people to understand that we live in a crazy world of uncertainty, and the only thing that's certain is you, your love, your forgiveness, and the salvation that you've offered each and every one of us. And we thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Joe. Well, the title of the message is, do you remember the title?
I think I can remember it. It's called Utter the Memory of the Great Goodness.
Right. Absolutely. And, of course, we know who that great goodness is, and that's the Lord himself.
Himself, yes.
We're in Psalm 145, and this is one of only two psalms of praise in the psalms there. This is 145 and 100 that are named psalms of praise, but this is one of the doxology psalms. There's five doxology psalms, and each one, the very last verse of each one, the expression that it talks about redemption. And so here, as we start, he says, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. And so here, what is he talking about? He's making a statement that he's going to do something, and there's a reason he's going to do something. What do you think that is here? When he says, I will.
He's going to make sure that he continues to praise the Lord, to bless him and thank him and tell others about how great and wonderful he is, and it'll be a part of his being.
Yeah, so he's talking about the point that he's going to have everlasting life, so he's going to be around for eternity now to praise God through all of eternity, huh?
He'll have a long time to do it.
Every day will I bless thee, I will praise thy name forever and ever. He's making that point.
You see, he couldn't do it forever and ever unless he has eternal life.
Absolutely.
Kind of a catch-22. I remember doing this years ago as a Bible study, and I was asking the group, you know, what that second line, they didn't catch that. They were thinking, well, we're to, you know, continually praise him, but it didn't dawn on them that the person saying, I will praise him, means I will live forever so I can do this. And it's amazing how many people have read that never see the message, Pastor.
Oh, I know that.
That's why we make sure it's pointed out, right?
Absolutely. And then he says in verse 3, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. There you go. What do you think that means when it says his greatness is unsearchable? He's making another statement there. There's a reason it is unsearchable.
Oh, it's so far above our ways and understanding for us. It's impossible for us to really truly understand his greatness, his power, his majesty.
Well, how long have men existed compared to God's existence?
A twinkle of the eye.
So God was pre-existent. And we don't
have any idea. There's no way to record because time was created when he created the universe. Before that, there was no need for time, so we have no idea of how long this pre-existent forever. He's been there forever. It's beyond our comprehension. Our brains cannot grasp that truly.
Okay, so today, you know, you hear a lot about AI, how AI is so advanced.
Yeah.
But there's another. It's called UI.
Mm-hmm.
That UI stands for ultimate intelligence. Now there's only one ultimate intelligence, and that's God. How do you think the ultimate intelligence stands up compares to AI?
there's again no comparison. AI may be a marvel to us, but it's just another minor thing in the world of the creation of God.
So
if you think about it, they say AI is so great, but you look at a rock, you reach down and pick up a rock, and on the rocks everywhere, right? The world's made of them. And inside that rock, you have electrons, or you have an atom, and you have these electrons that are spinning. They're moving around the proton, the center of that atom. Inside that rock are all these electrons moving at tremendous rates of speed, and yet the rock is cool to the touch. It feels solid. You can't feel the movement. Just the wonder of that rock is far beyond anything AI can ever comprehend.
That's very interesting. So if you had two objects that were solid objects, but they were vibrating at completely different speeds, could those two objects occupy the same space at the same time?
Good question. And, you know, what separates what part of space from another? In God's, you know, creation, anything is possible.
Do you remember back when we used to have the...
They cannot occupy the same space at the same time, but if they're moving, God has created time, and his idea of time and ours, it's just a measurement to us, to him. He can be everywhere in the universe at once, so...
Well, this is, if you remember back some years ago, we used to have on a regular basis nuclear physicists on this program. They would come on and talk about things once... about twice a month, they would come on and talk about things that the different dimensions. And if you could, by changing the vibrations, you can change the dimension. This is where we see all through the scripture. And these guys were all believers. I mean, and they were talking about this is how, whenever you see in the Bible, and a door opened, okay. That was the changing of the vibrations going into a different dimension.
Different dimension, yeah. And who knows, there may be just a momentary change in the time, too. It may be a small change in time to God, but in us that creates a whole new dimension.
Yep. Don't you ever try to create a dimension, Joe.
No, that's above my pay grade.
Yeah, we'll leave that up to Kenning, see... see how it works with him. Okay. All right.
If it's above Pastor Joe's pay grade, it's certainly above mine.
All right. It's it does get complicated. It really does if you really start. You can rack your brain on some of that stuff. Now,
Oh, yes.
One generation shall praise thy works to another, and they shall declare thy mighty acts. Again, this is the wonderful message of God's work of creation and redemption has been transmitted from generation to generation to generation ever since Adam. He says, I will speak of the glorious honor, thy majesty, and thy wondrous works, and men shall speak of thy might, of thy terrible acts. Okay, that word terrible is not like the way we use. If we say something's terrible, right? If we say Democrats are terrible.
It's a rather bad connotation, but the word terrible here is like awesomeness.
That's what it means. Same way our God is an awesome God.
God,
yeah, several places he's referred to as the terrible God, and so that's how the terminology has changed in the way we use it. He says, they shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. And that's the title of our message here tonight, huh?
Yes.
The Lord is
goodness.
Yeah. The Lord is gracious.
Notice that word memory. Because one of the things mankind is very short on memory.
Yep.
You and I have been doing radio for you a lot longer than I have, but both of us for a very long time. And one thing I've learned is the average span out there, memory span for most people, is very short. They don't remember even large events, let alone smaller things. And, you know, with some people, something that happened months ago, they've already forgotten, let alone something that happened 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. And that's one of the problems, because there are many of these things that happen that we are to remember to keep in memory. And that's one of the things we've forgotten, how the pain it took to create this wonderful nation. We've forgotten the values, principles, faith of our founding fathers. We've forgotten what freedom really is. We've forgotten the concepts in the Constitution, where they came from. We've forgotten knowledge of the Bible. We've forgotten knowledge, you know, all kinds of things. And that has brought us to a terrible place we're in the world today.
All righty. Well, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. You know, all through Scripture, every time you'll notice that there's a judgment, then after the judgment, there's God's mercy. He always shows you judgment and mercy, judgment and mercy. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord. All thy saints shall bless thee. So he's talking about four different categories of
saints, right?
Yeah. Well, of course, the first category of saints are angels themselves.
Selves, right. The angels, there's the Old Testament saints, there's the New Testament saints, the born-again believers, and the tribulation saints.
Right. And so here you have, when he says, they shall speak of thy glory and thy kingdom and talk of thy power. So now, it seems like, you know, David is referring to God's kingdom, the millennial kingdom, and it seems like the Lord let David in on some things, you know, that hadn't been written about yet, right?
Yes, things that were to come.
All right, and he goes on to say, thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and the dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raises up those that are bowed down. In other words, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will raise you up, huh?
Upright.
The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Well, he's talking about all of nature. God provides, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
Then he says
here, something for everything out there, or at least, or the time they're allowed. Some people say, well, this thing only lives, this insect only lives a few hours or a few days, but it's what they were created the ability to do, but he provides for all his creation, one way or the other.
Yeah.
According to his plan, not ours, but according to his plan. But I want to back up on something where you just said this, the Lord raises, upholds those that fall and raises up those that are bowed down. We bow in submission to God, but people think, well, blessed are those that the meek. But meek doesn't mean that we are weak people. Too many people think a Christian is a weak person, that they're submissive, they're, you know, no. Meek, we're meek to our Creator. We're submissive to God. But it doesn't mean that we are at all weak. In fact, the backbone of the military of this country since its inception were basically the country people from the Bible Belt. Those, the backbone of our military were the Christian men.
Well, Moses was referred to as being meek. Do you think that Egyptian soldier that he got into it with thought he was meek or weak?
No, I don't think so. And when he went back and confronted, did all the things he did, no, that was not a meek man in the sense of manliness, but meek.
Oh, he was
God,
meek,
yes.
But not weak.
Right.
Okay, he says this, "Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing." Again, that means he provides for all. "The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works." Okay, do you know what that means? Here, "The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works." It means that everything that God does is right.
Yeah.
Everything
perfect.
he does. Yeah.
The very definition, anything that God desires, wants, anything that he sees in his mind, in that sense, that's the best way I can put it, he can create it. So it's created exactly how, when, where, that he wills it. That's perfection, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, okay, all you have to do is think, and it is exactly what you want it to be. That you can't beat that for perfection.
Yep. "The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all them that call upon in truth."
Truth.
"He will fulfill the desires of them that fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them." All right, so he's talking about, he saves those, but it might not be the way you think, okay?
Right, but and so, saving can also, basically it comes down to saving your soul for eternity,
yep.
Which is the biggest, most important saving of all.
"The Lord preserveth all them that love him," that means throughout eternity, "but the wicked will he destroy." This goes to the point, you hear people say, God loves everyone, God loves everyone, but that's not what the Bible teaches at all.
No, when it said the wicked he will destroy, that does not sound quite like, he may love his creation, but those that reject him and turn out and do evil, do horrible things, there is a judgment, and it is for all eternity. They are destroyed, right?
Those in the prosperity church, one of their main themes, they have several very, very false themes, but one of their main themes is that there is nothing that you can do to make God stop loving you. There's nothing you can do to make God, but that's not what the Bible said at all, is it?
No. No, it okay. isn't. Scripture basically, and then it tells us we are to love what God loves, and we are to what? Hate what God hates.
And be conformed to the image of God.
God.
But several places, God hates all of those that commit iniquity. He tells you very, very closely. It was Isaac he loved, but Jacob he hated. It was Jacob he loved, but Esau he hated. Where did Isaac come from?
I was thinking of the word hate,
Yeah. But there are several, those that, whose hands shed the innocent blood, he hates those. And so there's many in whose feet are swift to run.
The hands that shed innocent blood, that must mean there's a lot of people out there he hates, because we think of all the abortions, all the murders, all the killing that has taken place in this world. That means there's a lot of people that God hates.
So at one side, he hates them. On the other end, there's mercy and forgiveness where there's repentance, huh?
There is no sin that, there is no one that's so bad that they cannot be forgiven by God and brought into the kingdom.
Hmm. All right, we'll be back right after this.
Face the flag of stars and bars, of red and white and blue. A flag that guarantees the rise for men like me and you.
Face the flag, son. Read what's written there. History, the progress, the heritage we share. Our flag reflects the past, son, but stands for so much more. And in this age of Aquarius, it still flies in the forward. It leads the forward movement shared by all mankind to learn, to love, to live with peace of mind, to learn the mysteries of space as well as those of Earth. To love each man for what he is, regardless of his birth. To live without the fear of reprisal for belief. To ease the tensions of a world that cries out for relief.
Face the flag of stars and bars, of red and white and blue.
Face the flag, son. Take a good long look. What you're seeing now can't be found in a history book. It's the present, the future, son. It's being written now. And you're the one to write it. The flag can show you how. You know what it stands for? What its makers meant? To think, to speak, the privilege of dissent. To think our leaders might be wrong, to stand and tell them so. These are the things that other men under other flags will never know. But responsibility, that's the cross that free men must bear. If you don't accept that, freedom isn't there.
Face the flag of stars and bars, of red and white and blue. A flag that guarantees the rise for men like me and you.
Face the flag, son, and face reality. Our strength and our freedoms are based in unity. The flag is but a symbol, son, of the world's greatest nation. As long as it keeps flying, there's cause for celebration. So do what you gotta do, but always keep in mind, a lot of people believe in peace, but there are the other kind. We want to keep these freedoms, we may have to fight again, God forbid. But if we do, let's always fight to win. The fate of a loser is futile, it's bare. No love, no peace. Just misery and despair. Face the flag, son, and thank God it's still there.
Amen. Face the flag and thank God every day for everything. Listen, I got some commentary. So you ready for the commentary, Joe?
Ready.
On this day, we commemorate the memories of the not forgotten heroes of the past. How thankful we are for them because of the sacrifices that they made for us. As we face the Antichrist deep state tyranny, we all the more realize what it cost them to preserve the freedoms that we now must defend for ourselves and for our posterity. Whenever the cause was a righteous cause, our forefathers met the challenge and answered the call. This despite the fact that some of our leaders were corrupt But they were never so corrupt as they are today. We must never forget that America was great because she was good. We have living among us a class of people that are not only ungrateful for the freedoms and the prosperity that our republic form of government has afforded us, but hate America because she didn't give it all to them, but allowed the same freedoms and prosperity for us too. The delusional mindset of those on the left is that the earth, what they refer to as Mother Gaia, should be preserved for the global elite, and that all others are just parasites on the back of Mother Earth and need to be, well, depopulated, as they say. The Founding Fathers were men of faith. They met together to petition their Creator God. They prayed for his guidance and assurance in forming a government that would be one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all people. After many days of debate and fervent prayer, and on that hot summer day of July 4th, 1776, prayer was finally answered. With the Declaration of Independence of the United States of America, freedom isn't free. As John Quincy Adams once said, posterity, you will never know how much it has cost my generation to preserve your freedoms. I hope that you will make good use of it. They paid freedom's price with their sacrifices and blood. We must be prepared to do the very same. Now, I'm old enough to remember when America was still a nation that had not forgotten her God. I remember when babies were born and not aborted. I remember when marriage was between a man and a woman and their God. I remember when sodomy was a crime, and pedophilia was a crime, and profanity and pornography were crimes. I remember as a child watching the neighbors being arrested. A man out there because he was cussing. He was arrested for cussing and for taking God's name in vain. But today, well, just a couple weeks ago, our so-called vice president, Kamala Harris, was speaking to the Indonesian American Association, and she was dropping the F-bomb, and everybody was laughing. When boys were boys, I remember when boys were boys, when girls were girls, and they never thought it could be any other way. They didn't want to be any other way. When drugs on the street were illegal and overdoses were rare. I remember the days when prosecutors went after the criminal and not the victims. When any man that wanted to give birth to a baby instead got a nice padded room to live in. Those were the days, my friend, and I remember when we slept with the doors unlocked and the windows open. Someone, and I believe that was Sam Clemens, once said that there was never a good war or a bad peace. America has had her share of wars, some justifiable, others not. Some left us united, and, well, others left us divided. But America was great because she was good. So let's make her good again. Joe, I want to read some of the rights that America has forgotten that we have. This is from the Bill of Rights. This is what the Bill of Rights guarantees us, Joe. Amendment 1. U.S. citizens have freedom of religion, speech, press, and assembly, and petition. Amendment 2. Well, let's stop in each one of these. You don't have that today. Certain persons, they have the cancel culture. And today we have, well, how many times have I been arrested for just preaching against the sin of abortion?
Abortion, yep.
And so Amendment 2, U.S. citizens have the right to keep and bear arms. Absolutely. But, of course, the Antichrist Communist Democratic Party, they want to remove our arms. The government, Amendment 3, the government may not force U.S. citizens to shelter soldiers in their homes. Joe, you know how many of those so-called illegal aliens are literally Chinese national soldiers? Now, Trump knows it. I heard Trump talking about it. He admits now that we have thousands of soldiers here on our country. Finally, Joe, we've been talking about this since 2019. Even before the election, we were saying how they were coming in, that these were soldiers. Back when Trump was in, he almost shut the border down. It wasn't shut down, but it was almost shut down. And we were talking about soldiers. And now finally, and they're still coming in. Biden has opened the gates as wide as the gates can be open to tell us get as many in here.
Open the gates to hell.
Yep. Amendment 4, U.S. citizens are protected from unreasonable searches of a person's property. Unless you happen to be pro-life, unless you happen to be homeschoolers, unless you happen to be one of the January Sixers, or unless you've spoken out and are a whistleblower against the corrupt Biden regime. Amendment 5. The government may not force U.S. citizens to testify against themselves in court. This regime would. There's nothing I don't think that's too corrupt for them. Amendment 6.
Or if you don't testify against yourself, they will go after your children, destroy you.
Like with General Flynn?
Flynn, yeah. What they did to Michael Flynn, they destroyed him financially, went after his family. If he didn't do what they wanted, they were going to go after his children. So he took the blame rather than have his children suffer.
Right, and that lawyer, the one that keeps turning, the one that lied and lied and admitted after he had admitted there was nothing that he had nothing that Donald Trump did that was illegal, but then they told him, you're going to find something that Trump did that was illegal, or we're going to indict your wife, and we're going to go after your family. And so, number 6, U.S. citizens have the right to a fair and speedy trial. Tell Jake Long that. He's been in prison now for over 3 years, the January 6ers, and hasn't had a trial yet.
Right.
Amendment 7, how corrupt that government is. That Biden regime is completely and totally corrupt, completely corrupt. Amendment 7, U.S. citizens have the right to a trial by jury. Ingrown would not let President Trump have a trial.
Here is the line that's so important.
Ingrown would not allow President Trump to have a trial by jury, would he? No.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry, I got that one wrong. I mean, he would not let him have a trial by his peers, right?
Yeah. Amendment 8, U.S. citizens are protected from cruel and unusual punishment. Not if you're a Christian or a Republican, right? Amendment 9, U.S. citizens may have the rights that are not listed in the Constitution. Our rights come from God, from no government. They come from God.
That's what the Declaration says.
Yep. Amendment 10. Powers not given to the federal government by the U.S. Constitution belong to the state or to the people. All right. Joe, I wanted to do one other thing, too, is in memory of pastors. Last year, we, on Memorial Day, in our message, we talked about our parents, the different folks in the church all gave a little testimony of their parents, in memory of their parents. I know that I can say my parents are probably the hardest working people I ever met. My dad had to provide for 10 people, and he was one of the hardest working men I ever met. And my mother would sacrifice everything. She would always put her children and her family above herself. She was a Proverbs 31 mother. And then the year before that, we went there, remember, and so we we did the, all the men, John Donilon and I, we walked along the Vietnam Wall there in D.C., the Veterans Wall, and we wrote down the names of our friends that died there during that war. And we did a memorial to them. But today I wanted to do one a little different. Over the years I've served with, I've had a number of associate pastors that served with me. And you're one of those. And that were a part of our, this church, Doers of the Word. And so I just want to say a few words about each one of them. Pastor Luke Owens was, he was one of the youngest ones we had. He was a big guy. And Luke, whatever I would ask him to do, he did. He would go with me often where I would go and speak, and he had quite a sense of humor. Him and I used to kid around, and you know we didn't play no race card. We didn't have the problems where, you know, we were so full of ourselves. We could joke around, and we often did that even on the radio, and. And one day, I remember we were doing a topic, and I said something about, from a perspective of being a black man, Luke, what are you saying? He would say, well, how would I know about that? And I said, Luke, I said, Luke, you're black. What?
Yep.
And we would have some fun. And one time we had a UBF, we were at the UBF conference. Those Baptist ladies can cook. I mean, can they cook? And they had like a buffet line where you go down this line. So Luke and I come up there, and the ladies were standing there. And the one says, well, we have, she had turkey. So we had, but they had in the gravy, they had like turkey cut up in a gravy. And they said, we have light meat and dark meat. I said, that's what they call Luke and I. And these women, their faces all turned red. But you know, we weren't so full of ourselves. We could have some fun, and we used to joke around all the time.
Well, men, when you're really close to somebody, you tease, you harass, you make fun of different things, and it's only when you treat each other as equals that you can do that, because then size, color, you know, short hair, long hair, all, none of those things matter. It's the measure of the person you're with. And, you know, you and I don't pick our friends by their color. We pick them by their character, and that's the way it's always been, right?
Absolutely. And I want to move on to Tom Razum.
Love as a brother, it doesn't matter.
Right. I want to move on to Tom Razum. Tom was, he was probably the best evangelist I ever knew. Tom had a guy, he was always had a smile, he loved people, and wherever we went, and Tom used to, we used to go to the prison, as you remember, for years there, for many, many years, we had the eight of us that would go up our, to the prisons, death row, and minister right up on death row, and Tom, whenever we would stop any place for lunch or whatever, we would always have to wait for Tom because he would still be in there. Sometimes he would miss his meal witnessing to people. He just loved witnessing to people. And you'd see him over there praying with people. In fact, one day he got himself in a big trouble because he had gone in to the grocery store, Giant Eagle, they call it Big Bird, and he had a full cart of groceries. And here, as he was coming out, he ran into someone, and as he was praying with them, the sinner's prayer, somebody walked away with his entire cart of groceries that he had just paid for.
Oh, wow.
And so I remember that he didn't know, because he was really kind of upset because, you know, he was on limited income.
He was very intent on what he was doing, and he was doing the Lord's work, yeah.
Yep. And then we had Pastor Bruce Pfeiffer. Bruce was a gentle giant. He was very active, would come out to the killing stations with me to the Blood Alley or Planned Predators and help me save babies. And Bruce, he was a giant, but boy, you didn't mess with him because he would stand his ground. And he always had the right thing to say at the right time. And Bruce was also our fundraiser. He handled all the, and I've never been able to find someone that could take over for him. And I wish we could. We needed that. Remember, we had all of those concerts we had. We would do. We had all the chili cook-offs and the picnics and the ice cream socials. Bruce led up all of those things, and we had our Patriot meetings.
God gives everybody a different set of talents or talent. And, some people just, that was one of the gifts that they were given.
Yeah, and all of these guys, Tom and Bruce, and all their families loved them. Their children, held them in high respect and regard. And then you had Big Jim Garner. You remember Big Jim.
Big Jim, bodyguard, yes.
Yeah, Jim was only about 4 foot 10 or 11. And he was small in stature, but he was a giant of a man in heart. And Jim was a very, very knowledgeable fella.
But he had the biggest heart around.
Yeah. But he had a sense of humor, and he kind of was a mischievous little guy. Now, at his size, and the ladies loved him for some reason. Boy, the ladies just loved him. It was, I don't know. They looked at him on that nice little man. And I remember he would have that sense of humor. And I remember as Paul Rowe and I, Paul was a good-sized man, a Baptist preacher, good dear friend of ours. Paul and I and some other preachers, there were several of us, had gone into, we were at one of our UBF meetings, and we had stopped at a restaurant for lunch. And Big Jim, and being small, but his age, even at his age, because, he was at that time in his late 70s at that time, probably about 77, 78 at that time, when Paul, being a big man, would often talk with his hands. He would use his hands in motions, a lot of battalion guys do that. So Paul and I was walking, and, Paul had that hand the size of a ham. And Big Jim decided he was going to dart around us and get into the restaurant before us. And just as he come by, Paul put his hand out, and Big Jim ran smack into his hand. And he got a bloody nose. And so we stopped for a minute and waited for the other guys to come up. And we didn't know he got a bloody nose. We know he just... So we got into it, and there was this waitress. She was like Ma Kettle. She was standing there with her hands on her hip. And Jim was standing there with a cloth over his nose. And she said, is that the two that did this to you? And he shook his head yes. And boy, she said,
they're the ones, they did it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see that now.
Yeah, so but I thought, I'm going to get even with this fellow sometime. And one time when I was driving, we came back. Remember, we were there in Missouri with you guys when we spoke. I spoke at those up there in the Ozarks someplace.
Yeah, several different churches.
Yeah. Well, I spoke at that place out there. It wasn't a church. It was like some kind of a big hall. And there was
a big meeting hall near one of the springs.
There was about 100 vehicles in the parking lot, not one car. They were all
trucks.
All pickup trucks, and with rifles. And, those are country boys there.
It looked like an armed camp, right?
Yeah, it did. But anyhow, on the way back from there, I was driving. My son did most of the driving. But Coupon Ken was up in the front seat, and I was driving. And I dozed off for just a second. And Jim was sitting right behind me. He started whacking me on top of the head. So finally, I got back and I'm driving. I said, okay, Jim, I'm awake. But he kept whacking me. And he said, I'm whacking you to keep you awake. Anyhow, I thought, I'm going to get even with this guy now. And so we stopped at about 4 o'clock in the morning at a restaurant. And here... it was right around Halloween time, and there wasn't anybody in there, and they had those Halloween, and the all the waitresses were out back. This was like a big truck stop. They were all out back having a cigarette or whatever. So Jim and I are sitting there at the table, and the waitress walks up behind him, and he doesn't see her. She's got her little pad. And I says, all right. I said, Jim, I've told you before, and I'm tired of telling you. I'm not going to tell you again. Every time you lend your teeth to somebody, when you get them back, you're saying things you shouldn't be saying, Jim. And this waitress goes, oh, like this. And Jim, the way he was, he said, usually when you do things like this to me, I get sad. It hurts my feelings. But now I am very angry.
Very angry.
Yeah, but Jim was a character.
Yeah,
Jim.
Definitely.
And I remember the other one was, we left the prison, death row. They had moved death row from the Ohio Penitentiary down to, I'm trying to remember where they moved it to, but it was the last day that we were going to that prison on death row. And the lady that was in charge of visiting was a real sweetheart. She loved to see us guys coming in here. And it was her last day. She was retiring. So as we were leaving that day, she got up and she gave us all a hug. And when she came to Jim, Jim took her hand and kissed her hand. And she said, oh, James. And he was, you know, that little, cute little ladies, man. And I said, oh, that's nothing. I said, he's done that to me. Boy, he got mad at me. Boy, he really got mad at me. But
well,
anyhow.
People are seeing the real side of you for a change, what it's like to be around you.
We used to have a lot.
To be around you. People have to learn to put up with a lot to be able to defend themselves.
Yeah. And then Ken Sundemeyer, Pastor Sundemeyer. I might have to go to the other side of the break to finish, because I want to finish with these guys.
Yeah, we should.
Pastor Sundemeyer was always, can we give you the shirt off his back? But he was a contentious fellow. He liked to argue about things, but he loved children. He loved children. He was a school teacher for many, many years. He retired as a public school teacher, but during those days, he would take time after school. People that his children, his students would have maybe come from a broken home where there'd be a problem with alcoholism or something. And he would go over and talk and minister to their parents and try to lead them to the Lord. Ken had a heart, a real heart as big as all outdoors. And I'm coming up to a break. I know he got into trouble. He was told he could no longer go over to the homes of the students of their parents, their homes, on his own time, and we're up against
his own time. Can't do that.
Now, well, hang on. I'll finish this on the other side of the hour because we're coming up to the break. How much time do we have there?
Just a few seconds.
Okay, be right back after this.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.